Well, we're beginning a new series today called I'm In. And not only is this a new series, but it's also a new format. This is a part of our new Trinity Anywhere opportunity. It's a unique opportunity for you, hopefully, to enjoy this content with a group of people. This series is talking about the four characteristics of how God sees you. And not only how God sees you, but how we can also see others and live out these characteristics in our own lives. Now, they all begin with the letters I-N. So there's four characteristics that we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks. Invaluable, influential, invested, and inviting. Now, inviting isn't just inviting others around us, but it's also invited, that God invites us into relationship with him. Now, like I said earlier, I hope you're enjoying this content with your small group or a group of people, or maybe you're watching this with your family or your friends, your neighbors, or maybe you're gathering together with a couple, or you're watching this content alone. And no worries, whatever format that you're enjoying the content, we want to share and show you how you can engage at those levels. So when we talk about the format of the message, there's going to be 3 points where we're going to stop and pause. You'll see a screen that pops up that indicates that this is the spot to pause. And then when you go to the talk sheets, you'll be able to follow the talk sheet information. We also have a family edition for our talk sheets, and those links will be found either on YouTube, Facebook Live, or our website. Either way, we encourage you now to download those talk sheets for either you to use or your family edition, and those will walk through how to enjoy this content at an even deeper level. Well, let's jump in. Our topic for today is invaluable. And I want you to know that you are invaluable. Now, this is a critical message that I'm going to preach today. And it's critical because I want you to know the truth of what it means to be invaluable. But it's also one that for many of you is going to be hard to believe. It's hard for us to sometimes see our own value. Sometimes it's way easier to see somebody else's value around you. But when I talk about being invaluable, I want you to know that you are invaluable to God's work, especially when it comes to advancing his kingdom. You are uniquely valuable because you are you. And I hope that that's an encouragement to you this morning. You're one of a kind. Unless you're a twin, then you're two of a kind. No, I'm just kidding. Because even when you're a twin, you are still you. And God has uniquely and wonderfully made you today. Jesus told a parable of the lost sheep. He talked about the fact that there were 100 sheep and one sheep wandered off. Jesus shared with a group of shepherds, doesn't the shepherd leave the 99 and go after the one? And the shepherds at the time would have been like, no. Why would you leave 99 perfectly good sheep to go after one that obviously doesn't want to be a part of the group? The reason Jesus shared this parable is because at one point or another in our lives, we have been the one. I have 2 kids. I love my kids. And if one of my kids was lost, or if one of my kids wandered away, I wouldn't say, I've got another one. Because that's not the way it works. Depending on how many children you have, if you have children, if one of them is lost, you as a parent will do anything you can to make sure that they are found. And that's the same way it is with Jesus. He doesn't look at one who is lost and say, I've got 8.9 billion more. That's not what he does. Because when one of Christ's children are lost, then his family is not complete. So that's why we serve a God who goes after the one. That's important for us to remember, because you are invaluable because of who you are, and not just because of your purpose, but I also want you to know that you have a purpose. In fact, you were created on purpose for a purpose. And we're going to just try to discover more of what that means for us today. Now, many at this point would simply stop listening. As soon as I say you're created on purpose for a purpose, you turn out and you go, "Oh, Pastor, you don't know my story. You don't know my past. I'm not like a spiritual elite. I'm not highly educated. I'm not good enough. I don't have the talents or the spiritual standing in order to actually have a purpose, especially a purpose for God." You know what? I want you to know that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from Satan himself. And the lie is, well, if I weren't a part of the church, it really wouldn't matter. Well, if I'm not part of the family of God, what difference would it make? That is a lie. God created you for this moment at this time. And I think it's important, again, that you remember that. There was a preacher in the late 1800s who met with a young man in his congregation. And this young man, as they met in their small cottage, said to his pastor, "I have nothing to offer God. I have no value. Why would you care about me?" The preacher had looked over and he noticed that there was a coal or a briquette that was separated from the fire. And he looked at this young man and he said, "Watch what happens." The preacher walked over and he slid that coal back into the fire. Well, suddenly the fire perked back to life. It became brighter. It became hotter. It became stronger. The preacher looked at the young man and he said, "When you're disconnected from God, you're cold and you're dark. But when you're reconnected with God and his church, or if you connect with God and his church, you become brighter, you become hotter, and you become stronger." And not only that, the preacher looked at him and he said, "We as the church, when you are brought back into connection with God and the church, we as a church become brighter, we become hotter, and we become stronger as a church." I hope that settles with you this morning, that you recognize that maybe for some of you, you've been that coal that's sitting out on the edge of the fire, and you've been cold and you've been dark. And I want to tell you that God wants to bring you back in, and he wants to connect you to him so that you can burn brighter, hotter, and stronger. Well, this is a great spot for us to stop and to take our first pause. So this will be, again, the opportunity for you to download the talk sheet and then to also go to the started out portion, which is the very top, the first aspect or the first part of the sheet. So take a few minutes and begin to have a dialogue, to have a discussion with either your family or with your group. And again, if you're alone and you're watching this content, text the question to a friend. Or create a dialogue through text message with somebody around you and just say, "Hey, this crazy pastor wants me to text a question to you. What do you think about this?" And then, so what we'll do from here is in just a few short minutes, you can dialogue and discuss. And again, if you're enjoying the content, you want to keep going, just wait 5 seconds and then it will automatically go to the next session. If you're watching this as a group, when you're ready, just press play and we'll continue on. So I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul uses a metaphor to show the value of the church in Corinth. Now, the one thing that you have to know about the church in Corinth is that they were not special by any stretch. They would be the ones to admit to you that they had nothing special or nothing to attribute to them that would bring value to someone else or even the church. They were not special people. They weren't highly educated. They were actually, many of them were slaves, and they were incredibly insecure. We see through the letters that Paul sends to the church in Corinth that he has to keep kind of explaining things almost over and over again to them. But Paul uses a metaphor to show them that they do have value. So as you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Let's start reading at verse 12. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Now, I think we get this metaphor that Paul is using, this, you know, there's many parts, but there's one body. But in order to maybe explain it a little bit better, I want to play a game with you. And I want you to interact with the people around you or interact with me as we participate in this game. So as you know, that there are groups of animals that have a different name when they gather as a group. So here's an example, elephants. An elephant by itself is called, not a trick question, an elephant. But when you actually get a group of elephants together, that group is called a herd. So this is a little game that we're going to play. I'm going to start out with another easy one. So let's look at a group of lions. So a lion by itself is simply a lion. But as soon as you put lions into a group, it's called a, you guessed it, a pride. So the pride is what we call a group of lions that congregate together. Have you ever thought about cheetahs? When we put cheetahs together, no, it's not Cheetos. That's not the name. But actually, the group together is called a coalition. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. A crow by itself is simply a crow. But as soon as you put a group of crows together, now you might already know this, so spoil it for everybody else if you do, but it's actually called a murder. That is wild to me, that a group of crows together are called a murder. And my favorite, vultures. So a vulture by itself is just a vulture. But as soon as you get a group of vultures together, guess what they're called? A committee. So that's just a little game for us to understand that this metaphor is important not just to animals, but also to the church. Because individually, each animal has one name. But when you put them together as a group, they suddenly take on a new identity. So now, what do you call a person who has committed their life to Christ? You might call them a Christian. You might call them a disciple, a believer, a follower. We have different names that we would use for an individual who's committed their life to Christ. But what then do you call a group of Christians who work together for the advancement of God's kingdom? Now, we would call that a church. Or Paul, here in this metaphor, would call it the body of Christ. So on your own, you are a disciple. You're a believer. You're a Christian. You're a follower. But as soon as you get a group together and you gather together, then you become a part of the body of Christ. You have a new identity. In fact, I want you to think of it this way. When you use his hands, when you are his hands, then you serve in his name. When you use his feet, if you are serving as the feet of the body of Christ, then you're taking the gospel with you wherever you go. If you are the mouth of the body of Christ, then you're going to be lifting up others and encouraging others around you. And when you utilize being the heart of the body of Christ, then you begin to express his love to the hurting people that are around you. You, yes, you are an invaluable part of the body of Christ. I want you to hear me say this. Every part of the body matters. Every part. There is not a part that is less or more significant. And Paul knew that people were going to struggle with this. Paul knew that the church in Corinth was going to struggle with the reality that there is no insignificant part and there is no part that is elevated above everybody else. In fact, if we continue reading in verse 14 through 17, this is what the word says. It says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Now, I like Paul's contrast here between the ear and the eye, because let's just be honest, the eyes get all the attention. I mean, even just think about this one illustration. You don't look longingly into somebody's ear, because if you do, that's weird. You probably don't want to be going down that path. The eyes always seem, and Paul knows that the eyes get all the attention, and so he purposefully put that up against the ear and said, "There, you can't say you don't need one another, and you can't say that there's any part that is less or more significant. Every part of the body matters." In fact, when we go and continue on to verse 19, it says, "How strange a body would be if it only had one part. It would look like Mike Wazowski. It would just be one big eye. But even Mike Wazowski had legs and arms and feet and hands." So, verse 22 says, "In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. I want to tell you, you don't have to stand in front of a camera and preach a message every Sunday in order to be significant or to be valuable or to be important. Think about this. Did you know that the pinky, right? This little guy right here, the one that went wee, wee, wee all the way home. The pinky actually supplies 50% of the strength of your whole hand. I mean, each one of these fingers, you know, the thumb gets a lot of attention and the other fingers get sometimes equally, if not more attention. Careful. But the pinky kind of gets lost a little bit. But without the pinky, you would have to do 50% more with all the other parts of your hand in order to accomplish the same task. Or the uvula, right? The little in the back of your throat, the little hangy ball thing. Did you know that the uvula actually produces in its lifetime enough saliva to fill up 2 swimming pools? It's true. Google it. I mean, these look like and seem like they're insignificant parts, but they have an important function to the entire body. Verse 27 says, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." I love this. I highlighted the word together because all of us together make up the body of Christ. But it doesn't eliminate that when we're together, we still bring who we are to be a part of it. Each of us are a part of it. So this is the second part where we're going to stop here. We're going to pause. And I want you to then go to the talk it out section of the talk sheet. And this will be the opportunity for us to start beginning to dialogue and discuss the scripture and to talk through what does this mean as we continue to dive deeper into what Paul was saying and the metaphor he was using to talk about the church. Now here, if you want to continue in the content, again, just wait 5 seconds and we'll keep on going. If you're watching this as a group, when you're ready, press play and we'll continue. So as we begin to finish up here, I want to talk about next steps. I want to talk about kind of where do we go from here? And how I thought about this, have you ever slept on your arm funny? You know, like sometimes if your arm's like up here like this and you wake up in the middle of the night, you get freaked out. I get freaked out because I'm like, my arm is gone, right? It doesn't exist anymore. I have no arm. But we know what happens is that your arm simply fell asleep. But a sleeping arm is literally useless. In fact, just try to move it over to like the nightstand. You know, it just flops around because it has no usage because it's fallen asleep. I'm afraid that for many of us, we've fallen asleep and you are a part of the body. You see, just because our arm falls asleep doesn't make it any less a part of the body, but now it's useless because it's fallen asleep. Maybe for some of you, you've never used that part of your body. And this is an opportunity for you today to say, either I need to wake up and start being used by God to advance his kingdom as a part of the body of Christ. Or maybe for some it's, I need to start using this opportunity that God has provided me because I do have a purpose. And it is for such a time as this. And I am valuable to God. And I am significant. And although I struggle to believe that myself, I know that my heavenly Father believes in me. So you might say, but I messed up. I don't know enough. And again, as you heard me say earlier, you don't know my past. These are all excuses that we come up with. I want you to know that your past doesn't disqualify you. It actually prepares you. Think of it this way. There have been people that have said, well, I'm divorced, so I can't serve. I can't serve in ministry. And that, again, is just a lie. The truth is, because of what you've experienced in your previous marriage, you potentially have an opportunity to come alongside other couples because you've been there and you've experienced it and you want to teach them and help other couples to move forward. Or you might say, well, I don't know enough. I don't have any special education. I can't, if people ask me really hard questions, I'm not going to be able to answer their questions. Here's all you need to know. Do you know the grace of God that was extended to you through Jesus Christ? Do you know the love of God that is bestowed upon you from Jesus? If you know the grace of God and you know the love of God, that's all you need in order to share with those around you. Just share with them the grace that God has extended to you. Just share with them the love that you've experienced. That's all you need to know. Or you might be this morning saying, I have such a sketchy past. I've been addicted to drugs. Like, how could you take a drug addict like me and use me? How would that be possible? Well, let me tell you, your redemption story is a story that can impact the people around you. It's your story of what God can do and how he can use even the brokenness of our lives in order to advance his gospel message and mission. I want you to know, your past doesn't disqualify you. It actually prepared you for this moment. You are God's child. And when one of his children is missing, his family isn't complete. And this is true on many different levels. Your story matters. Your voice matters. Your words matter. Your gifts matter. Your generosity matters. Your encouragement matters. Matters. You might feel insignificant, but God, through Paul's metaphor, tells us that there is no one insignificant. You are valuable. And not only are you valuable, you are invaluable today. What would our communities look like if the body of Christ worked together? And all the parts came together when we as disciples, Christians, followers, believers meet in a group with the intention of advancing the kingdom, then we become the body of Christ. Well, this is the last part where we're going to end with the benediction. We're going to pray. We're going to go through the benediction. And then after the benediction is over, we're going to invite you to go to the last section of our talk sheet, which is live it out and pray it out. So I want to encourage you this morning. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I know for many this was a really hard message to hear, because the lies that the world and the lies that Satan have told us have seeped so far down into our heads that it's reached and penetrated our hearts. And we feel insignificant. We feel like we can't change, or we feel like we don't have value. But Lord, we pray that, and I pray that you would break the bondage of the lies that Satan has communicated. And instead that each person would see that they are valuable to you. That they potentially are the piece that's missing to somebody else's puzzle that can help complete the picture of what salvation looks like in their life. Lord, I'm thankful that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we were made on purpose for a purpose. And Lord, these are, I pray that we hear past the cliche and really understand that we are your children. And when one of your children is lost, you passionately pursue us. You come after us. And you want us to be in relationship with you. Lord, I'm thankful that you took this hot coal and you took this dark, cold coal and brought me back into your fire. And now not only do I pray, shine brighter and shine and I'm hotter and are stronger. But I pray that because of what you've done in my life, I now have the opportunity to impact the church. And that because of that impact, because of you working through me, the church is brighter, is hotter, and is stronger today. Lord, I thank you for this, and we pray this in your name. Amen.